The podcast you are about to hear contains adult themes, including, but certainly not limited to, bloody, sexy imagery, profane enthusiasm, gay giggles, and horror film spoilers. If this lewd behavior will displease you, feel free to exit this podcast zone. If you're unsure, check out the overture to get a taste of what's to come. If you're definitely sticking with us, strap in and let's go.
The time has come for season 3, tier 3, to land in your headphones or your car or your, I don't know where you're listening to this, your Bluetooth speaker where you're at the beach and everyone's like, yeah, it's Final Girl Standing the podcast. Anyway, here we are, baby. It's the finale of season 3. Welcome to Final Girl Standing, a podcast for each week. Jesse and I take final girls from horror movie fame, pit them against each other in a March Madness style bracket to see who will be
the final girl standing. Okay, who are you?
Hi, my name's Alyssa. It's the final episode and how do we even do this podcast? Like, I'm just overwhelmed with excitement that like we're here, we're queer, and we're filming and recording this episode. So, hi, my name's Alyssa. I am a whore for horror and I'm excited to be here with my co-host.
Hello, I am your co-host. My name is Jesse and I'm beyond psyched for the finale, y'all. It's a big one. It's the franchise season.
It's a big one. And we're even more excited because this week on this final episode, we are joined by an iconic guest. This guest, let me just run you down with the credentials, okay?
Yep, run it back.
This hoe has been podcasting for over 13 years. She is an absolute veteran, and we are honored that she is even on our goofy little podcast. She is the co-host of Pleasers and Punishers. She's also the rotating co-host of Slayerfest 98 and Tender Subject. And we are excited that she is gracing our podcast ears today. May, tell us about yourself, baby. Welcome to the pod.
Thank you for having me. I'm May. Jill is the best ghost face, Schultz. And and you know, maybe a hot take, but
no, it's not.
I am so glad to be here. I became aware of y'all because I edit Nightlight, and when I was editing their Final Girl Showdown month last year, Prince talked about like getting this idea from y'all, and I'm like, oh, I love this. So when you reached out to me to ask me to be the referee on this finale, I was so fucking pumped. So yeah, and I'm especially excited because Halloween H2O and Scream 4 are two of my favorite entries in their respective franchises.
Absolutely.
So this is especially delicious for me.
We are so lucky to have you. Like, I literally can't get over like how we keep getting baddies for our finale hosts. But like,
I know
we're truly honored. Shout out to Prince.
Shout out to Prince. He's our podfather, and he always provides. He always provides a horror femme.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, Prince, the sweetest man alive.
Truly.
Yeah,
the only Scorpio man I respect.
Yeah.
Anyway, so I guess we should get into it. I'm just like, I am like vibrating with excitement.
Okay, yeah, I have a couple of questions for May though, because I want to get to know you, your horror perspective, you know. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. We want to know about, one, do you have a favorite final girl?
Mm-hmm. If we're talking classic Final Girl, it's probably Nancy from Nightmare on Elm Street.
period.
Because
rest in power, Nancy. Yeah. Because
she's so proactive and she's so empathetic. Mm-hmm. And I think that a lot of the time, a Final Girl ends up having to harden herself in order to do what she needs to do and defeat her enemy. And Nancy never does that.
I love that.
That's an incredibly astute perspective. And I think that like One of the reasons that I love Nancy so much is because we talk about it in the episode, because she walked so Sydney could run. In the sense that, like, it's a Wes Craven universe situation, and like she really was like one of those first final girls within that era to like be interesting and cool and not dumb. And I think, yeah, she is. She, and I think that's one of the reasons that unfortunately she died in our our fight is that she's emo. She's emo, and she's you know. But yeah, for and sure. Then okay, wait, did you say there's a non-traditional final girl that you like would?
Yeah, so modern final girl, it's a tie between Dina from the Fear Street trilogy,
period,
and Gretchen from Cuckoo.
Oh,
because Cuckoo is one of my favorite movies of the last few years. It was my number one movie the year it came out. I fucking love that movie, and Gretchen gets put through the fucking ringer. And what saves her is how much she ends up caring for her sister. And the conversation that she has with her right before they, like, you know, figure out how they're going to get out of this situation breaks my fucking heart, especially because I don't have a relationship with my parents anymore, and found family is so fucking important to me. So every time I watch that movie, I start, like, just uncontrollably sobbing during that scene. And Hunter also Schaefer. She's gay.
Hunter Schaefer.
Yeah, it's Hunter Schaefer, and her character is a lesbian. So it's like, how can I not love her? And Dina is also a lesbian. I'm sensing a theme in the women that I relate to.
Lesbianism is a theme. There's something about the lesbianism.
I always joke that I'm technically bi, but functionally gay. Because I just, like, I don't want to deal with men. I love women.
I'm currently doing what I'm labeling political lesbianism, which is I am, in fact, a bisexual, but I haven't actively dated a man in many years. So
same. Yep.
See, I'm the worst kind of bisexual, where I'm married to a man.
Hey, you know what? As long as he treats you right, that's all that matters.
And he does, and we love him, and we stand
for him. We love him. Right. Hi, Andrew. We love you.
Hi, Andrew. We love you.
Okay, wait. There's another really important question that we have to ask you as well.
Yes,
Before we get into everything. And that is May. What is the astrology? What is your star sign? What is your chart? Can we just lay it down for the people?
I am a Capricorn sun, an Aquarius moon, and a Sagittarius rising. And I always like to throw in my Scorpio Venus.
So
I fall hard, and I'm a very passionate lover.
That's insane, dog.
Oh my God.
All of my Capricorn tendencies are directed inward. My Sag rising is way more governing of my external personality, and my Aquarius moon makes me a really emotional bitch.
Fascinating.
This is the tea. Can I just say, I so appreciate how you had this in your pocket. You were ready.
I know. I know my chart. I mean, I don't know every single placement, but I know my big three and my Venus. I mean, those are the most important ones in my opinion.
No, I'm obsessed with this, because if you hadn't had it, that'd be totally fine. We would pause and we would get the full chart.
We would pull up Astrology Cafe.
Exactly. Pull up Astrology Cafe, make you open up your phone, pick up CoStar or whatever that you use.
I'm an astrology girly. I'm a tarot girly. I love things that are esoteric, and I especially love things that mix science with mysticism, which is why I love tarot and astrology, because it's like, the alignment of shit in the universe is going to affect your life. When you're doing tarot, you are imbuing the cards with your energy and allowing them to tell you what you need to know, even if you don't know it yet. And I think that's beautiful.
May, we could talk about this all freaking day, because I am obsessed with tarot and also astrology. Also, you're in good company. Sag rising over here as well.
Excellent.
Capricorn rising, me as well.
Okay.
Okay, we have to. Honestly, I wish this podcast could just be us geeking for more hours. But we should probably do the podcast. So
we should probably do the podcast, I guess. Okay, so let's get into it, because Alyssa said it at the top that we pit Final Girls against each other in a March Madness style bracket. But if you are somehow just joining for the finale of season three,
what are you doing?
Bless up and welcome, I guess. Like, you yeah. know, like, we're happy to have you.
Hey, you know what? Maybe they're like, ooh, I'm going to listen to this because May's on it. And then they're going to love this episode and then go back.
And we'll they're like, wait, grateful. May's here? Yeah, yeah.
That,
okay.
Did that sound conceited? I really
no, but it's also like you're like very cool and like people know who you are.
So. Yeah, know your worth. Know yeah, your worth,
thank
babe.
You.
Okay, well, for those of you who might not be familiar, I want to talk a little bit about how we define a final girl and mm-hmm. like kind of how we chose the baddies that we did for the bracket. So. What is a final girl? Well, she has to survive the film. A certain number of people have to die in the film, and she needs to survive. She's a key player in eliminating the threat, the monster, whatever it is. And she's left to tell the tale, the story. Mm-hmm. She embodies the spirit of the final girl. And franchise girls will get their own bracket, and we're in that motherfucking bracket.
And we're at the finale.
And we're here.
At that bracket.
And we reserve the right to break the rules at any time, so because it's our podcast.
Yeah, period.
But those are the parameters, and we are left with two franchise icons. Do you want to tell them, Alyssa?
I do, and I think what we should do, J-Dog, is I'll give us the final girls, and then also I think that what we should do is, Jesse, you kind of tell us about your final girl.
Yes.
I'll tell you about my final girl, because we have chosen girls with which we will ride with this week.
Yes, mm-hmm, that's right.
But – In our final episode for our final fight, we have Laurie Strode from Halloween H2O and Sydney Prescott from Scream 4. Now, I would just like to hop on mic real quick and quickly apologize to the people because last episode, I did in fact fight Sydney 2 the entire time because I don't know. Look, I don't really have an excuse other than the fact that I just, that's who I am. Sometimes I forget things. I smoke a lot of weed. Not that I was high during the podcast, but I think the weed consumption like does alter my memory a little bit. So all that to say, we are fighting Sydney number 4 this episode. Yeah. And in theory, we fought Sydney number 4 in the last episode.
Alyssa, can I just say, so brave of you to
Thank
break
you.
The silence on this subject.
Yeah, yeah. I just wanted to break my silence. I know that people were like, are they going to speak on this? You know, and I'm here to speak on it. and yeah, I'm sorry. And I will do better.
Yeah. So we're honoring the results of the tier 2 battle, even though we were representing Sydney 2. It's Sydney 4. And we're
yeah,
gonna,
it's Sydney 4.
Yeah, it's Sydney 4.
Okay. Do you want to start by introducing Laurie?
Okay, I would love to. So let's just get a quick summary of Laurie Strode from H2O, which, as we know, is in a different universe from the other one she fought. And
yeah,
that's
yeah.
fine, and we don't care.
H2O is like the perfect trilogy with 1, 2, H2O.
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 Well, no, it's technically, because then it's also Resurrections. There's 4.
Yeah, that movie doesn't exist.
I mean, if I'm being real honest, yeah.
Yeah. You gotta hear us talk about the Alien Resurrections because that shit doesn't exist either.
Yeah. Okay. No, I like Alien Resurrection. That was the first Alien movie I got to see in the theater.
Oh,
the
face
I
that
was
I'm making.
10.
I was 10. Okay, well then you have some sort of nostalgic connection to it. Uh-huh. You gotta listen to the episode because we really have thoughts.
Well, and especially if you are drawn to lesbian final girls. I mean, Winona yeah. Ryder.
Yeah, and Winona Ryder Sigourney. And Sigourney Weaver just like popping her pussy in that fucking.
Oh my god, I want yeah. that relationship.
Okay, so let's talk about Laurie Strode, H2O, just add water. So, Laurie Strode is complicated. She's horny. She's a boy mom. She's a functioning alcoholic. Amazing weapons acquisition. She is, as we've determined through our own speculation, a Scorpio, but we think she has like lots of like fire potential, like potentially Aries moon. We talked about also Pisces Mars. We also talked about Scorpio Venus, which is the real team. She's also Michael's sister in this universe.
Mm-hmm.
Now she has a PhD in doing the most. At the end, she's literally stealing cops' guns, driving cars away, like driving them off cliffs. And she canonically hooked up with Sigourney, the clone alien hybrid,
in the last fight.
Yeah. And we love that for her.
Yeah. There was lesbian sex in the last fight.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah.
That's Laurie H2O.
Should we ask May her thoughts on H2O, Laurie?
Yeah, let's do it.
So, similarly to Alien Resurrection, Halloween H2O was the first Halloween movie I got to see in the theater.
Oh.
And that's 1998. So I was 11. I went and saw it with my old friend Jonathan and this girl who was like really close friends with one of the sisters that lived next door to me. I had a huge crush on her and she was a cutter, and so I really related to her and I just wanted to like, I wanted us to fall in love and like protect each other. So yeah, I have very vivid memories of seeing this in the theater. Halloween was the first franchise outside of Scream that I dove into. So I saw Scream as soon as it was available on home. Well, actually, as soon as it was available on pay-per-view, my dad's friend who had recently moved to Vegas, he had ways of like getting all the pay-per-view channels for free. So he videotaped it off of pay-per-view and sent it to me. And I watched that tape so many fucking times.
Wow, what a gift.
Right?
Yeah.
And I still had it. Yeah.
Can I ask, not to age everyone in the room, but can I ask what year you saw Scream?
Oh, yeah. It was 1997 because it came out in December 96. And then I believe it was on pay-per-view by like spring 97. So I'm pretty sure I was watching it in summer 97.
I am always like curious to know like what the people who were around like when Scream actually came out, like what the experience was, because like it like – I know that it was like a phenomenon at the time, you know, and I wish I could have been there, but unfortunately I was 1 year old.
So part of it was that a lot of kids my age hadn't really gotten into horror movies yet. And so it was very gateway horror for a lot of us. I had seen a few things when I was younger. I was always into like creepy stuff. I loved Halloween. But seeing Scream is what really opened the door for me. And I remember, I think it was maybe the second time I watched it, I was next door with that family that I was friends with. And we all watched Scream. And we were so fucking terrified afterwards that we were like, we need, you know, palate cleanser. Let's play Mario Kart. But they only had two controllers. And I was afraid to walk outside across their lawn over to my house.
To get the other controller?
So I called my dad, who knew we had watched Scream. And my dad, who has super autism and the emotional intelligence of a 9-year-old, he comes over and he starts running around the house, knocking on doors, knocking on windows, and we are all screaming. So I was the youngest person there. Franny is a year older than me. Eric is 3 years older than me. Michelle is 5 years older than me. And I think one of Michelle's friends was there. And we were just like screaming hysterically. And then finally he comes to the front door and rings the doorbell.
Oh,
and we
God.
All let out one more scream. And we ended up, I think Franny was the only one brave enough to go to the door. So I'm 11, she's 12, and she goes to the door, and my dad's like, here are the controllers. And she goes, you think you're funny, don't you?
We honor her, and we honor Franny.
Honestly, like top tier dad fuckery, though. Like,
yeah, for so. Sure. But so I was really into Scream, and you know, I didn't have the internet yet. I didn't get the internet until 1999. So I just had to like talk to people or look at magazines to find stuff out.
Oh my God.
And
yeah, love it.
And I knew from like going to the video store, I knew about Halloween. I knew about Nightmare on Elm Street. And so I knew there were connections. And I was like, I'm going to check out Halloween. And I got so obsessed with the whole franchise. And it just... While it is not one of my favorite franchises now, I still maintain that either 1, 2, and H2O or 1, 2, and 4 are perfect trilogies.
Okay.
Because I think Danielle Harris in 4 is fucking amazing. And I love what they do with her character at the end of that movie. It's not a perfect movie. It's not even one of the better Halloween movies, but it does make a nice bookend and delves into like generational and inherited trauma and stuff before we were using trauma horror as a term. Thanks, the Jamie Lee Curtis. Trauma.
Yeah, okay. May knows the lore. I was going to say, I was explaining the lore of the word trauma to Jesse yesterday.
Yes.
Because I always go trauma and she's like, what? And I'm like, trauma, you know, like Jamie Lee Curtis.
And so, and I do love Laurie as a character, but also I'm sorry, I have to say, fuck Jamie Lee Curtis. You have a trans kid and you're mourning the death of Charlie Kirk and also you're a Zionist. Go fuck yourself.
Oh, what?
Yeah.
Oh, boo.
Yeah.
Oh, that's so boo. News to me. That's a real bummer.
Also, I still think she should not have won that Best Supporting Actress Oscar. It should have gone to Stephanie Hsu for
everything
Ever Loved. Okay. Well, okay. So, do you have anything to say about like H2O Laurie Strode in terms of like
her fighting abilities?
Yeah, how do you
her
do in the ring? You know?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Like, yeah. No, honestly, H2O Laurie, despite being a functioning alcoholic who is carrying around a lot of trauma and an understandable but frightening amount of overprotectiveness for her son, she is, not to use a term that has been overused to death, but she is a fucking badass. The way she kicks into gear in that movie to protect people is pretty incredible. And poor Adam Arkin, he was treating her well and he got killed right in front of her. I mean, Jesus fucking Christ. She finally lets a new man in. And I mean, this is why she should be a lesbian.
Oh, maybe the moral of the story of that movie is don't shit where you eat. You know what I mean? Because she really was fucking the guidance counselor of the school she was running. So.
Yeah, that's probably not the best idea.
Yeah, for sure. Okay, should I get into Sydney?
Yeah, tell us about Sydney. Thank you so much for those thoughts, May. We appreciate it.
Yeah.
Okay. So, Sydney Prescott, the man, the myth, the legend, Sydney Prescott. She is our – okay, well, like I said, we're going to be writing for these bitches like pretty hard in this episode. And like that won't be hard for me because I love Sydney. But Sydney Prescott, when we're talking about Sydney 4, we're talking about Sydney kind of like – In like essentially the full evolution of her arc within the franchise. Obviously, like she goes on to do more shit in the franchise, but like I think her peak form is in 4. Sydney 4, she is a best-selling author. She is an incredibly well-adjusted trauma victim. And ultimately, what Sydney 4 has is like the same like ability and fighting skills that she had in like 2, which I think is one of her strongest, like boom, bop, you know, but also with the age and knowledge of like a 30-year-old woman who like has her shit together, you know? And I think that is what really makes her kind of a contender. And then also the astrology speculation. I know that like the astrology speculation, Jesse, was like kind of tea. And like looking back on it now, I don't think she's a Pisces. I think that that's kind of weird. I think that I don't know. I don't think so. But anyway, like I think that ultimately the reason that I was okay with her as a Pisces is because she has like a deep emotional well. Like she has a deep sort of, you know, kind of ability to feel things and like be empathetic towards other people.
Do you want my astrology opinion on her?
Absolutely.
I think she's a Pisces moon. But I think she's a Libra sun.
Ooh.
Okay. I can't remember what my speculation was. Yeah.
I think you speculated. I think you definitely speculated. You definitely speculated like fire and earth signs.
Yeah. Yes. She's so like fucking snappy, like comebacky.
She's got like,
Tatum was a Virgo. I think Sydney's a Libra.
Canonically?
In my head canon. Tatum is all we care about here. Tatum is the sassy best friend who always has a witty comeback who will fucking kill you if you fuck with her bestie. Mm. That's Virgo energy.
And we honor Tatum. So May, can we get your thoughts, feelings, opinions, scores on our girl Sydney?
Yes. So again, Scream was my gateway horror. I tried to see Scream 2 in the theater, and even though I had a ticket, the rest of my friends did not. And the fucking hoity-toity manager at the Old Orchard movie theater in Old Orchard Mall here, he was like, you all cannot be in this movie. And I was like, I have a ticket. Like, my mom came with me and bought me a ticket. And the rest of my friends had tickets to The Cider House Rules, which, even though it is a PG-13 movie, is really fucked up. I mean, there's drug addiction, sexual assault, incest, just like so many things. So yeah, he made us go see that instead of being able to see Scream 2.
Honestly, it's on site if I see this man in the streets. Yeah. Like, what? Like,
no, and he was like probably 22 or something, you know, power hungry, whatever.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So oh I did God. Not get to see Scream 2 until I was able to buy it on VHS when it came out.
Period.
Which I still have my VHS copy, which is pretty amazing.
Oh, my. That's Alyssa's favorite in the franchise,
yeah.
right?
Yeah. It, yeah,
it
number two.
It used to be my favorite. And honestly, I think it has been usurped by four.
Four is my number three.
I love Scream 4 so much.
And we don't talk about it. We don't talk about Scream 4 nearly enough.
Yeah. And I'm really mad that I did not see that one in the theater. I didn't come to it until a few years after. And I watched it. I was like, wait, this is really good. And you heard me near the top of the episode say that Jill is my favorite Ghostface.
Yeah.
And I really think that's true. I think her motivation, I think her reveal, and I think her absolute brutality are all kind of unmatched by any of the other characters who end up being Ghostface. And I think Sydney being able to face against an actual member of her family who is so obsessed with Sydney is really impressive, because it's like, I mean, I don't know if I should say this on air, but like, if I ended up seeing my mom again, I would probably, you know, not be able to not enact violence. Then I've got real good reason for that I won't get into right now. But
I like, we all know on this podcast that I am a real advocate for violence. And I know Jesse, the thing that keeps me from being in jail is that Jesse is what keeps us like from committing crimes. But honestly, like, they're one of the reasons that I love horror movies is that, like, what that I were allowed to commit violence. Like, and I would
love to burn my parents' house down, but I don't want to hurt their dog.
Well, and see, we get that. And let me just say this, you know, for a point of like the court of law, this is satire. This podcast is a joke.
Okay, this great. Podcast is satire.
Let me just cover that. But also, let me also, as Alyssa's lawyer, no, I'm just kidding.
Yeah, yeah.
But no, I think Sydney fucking rules. She never cowers. She always immediately jumps into action and fights back. And especially in four, she is not fucking around. She is throwing Ghostface. She is kicking Ghostface. It's just like she is nonstop in protect mode. And I think that fucking rules.
Something interesting that I'm realizing about both of these girls that you like pulled up is that like both of these girls don't really fall into the like final girl problem of like running away from things. Like both of them run towards things, which I think is fascinating.
Yep.
Yeah. They're evolved versions, right? Of their original like prototype or whatever.
Well, and that's why they're the final two rather than like Sydney or Laurie.
Totally.
A different movie.
Yes. Totally. And that's part of what makes the franchise season so interesting, right? Is that we get to see a different version like of these girls and give them a second chance to like, you know, win the day, whatever you want to call it. So,
I feel like, Jesse, we're so smart and cool for that. Like, wow.
I feel like the intellectualism of this podcast is like highly underrated. Like,
I feel like people are like, they know us as goofy goobers, but have they ever considered us as intellectuals? You know?
Yeah. Yeah.
Gotta hold that dialectic. Por que no los dos.
Yeah, exactly.
The dialectic. Okay. So shall we get into setting up the scene?
Let's set the goddamn scene. So excited.
Let's do it. Okay. Do you want to tell people how we do this?
Here's how we do this, people. So before we start the final fight, we mm-hmm. always pick out a location at mm-hmm. random from a mm-hmm. previously established batch of locations. Mm-hmm. And then we pick out a spicy element mm-hmm. From a previously established pool of spicy elements. Mm-hmm. And we use those to set the scene for the final fight. Now, mm-hmm. I'm going to be picking out the location. Alyssa's going to be picking out the spicy element. And then we're going to fucking fight. So what we need to do – do you want me to pick location first, or do you want to establish what a spicy element is for the people?
Let me establish what a spicy element is for the people. So essentially, a spicy element is a chaotic element entering the fight. If you listened to our last episode, I think that the spicy elements were hot dog fingers and what's the other one?
Rainbow blood. Everywhere all at once.
Literally. And then rainbow blood. Yeah, exactly.
Rainbow blood. And then do we also want May to let the people know what she added to the mix? Because we have our spicy elements in our locations that Jesse and I came up with. But then also May has added a couple of contenders to the bowl or the bag, depending on what your gender is. Last episode we talked about how, because I'm pulling my thing from a bowl and Jesse's pulling them from a bag, and we're like, ah yes, bag and bowl, the two genders.
The two genders.
Hey, you know what? You can cut this out if you want to, but I got an orchiectomy in January 2022, but they didn't take the extra skin, so my friends all refer to my empty sack as my coin purse and somehow find ways to bring it up on a regular basis.
That's so funny.
Yeah. Also, trans girlies out there, if you're not planning on getting bottom surgery, but you do get an orchiectomy, make sure they take the extra skin because it will not retract the way they say it will.
Okay. And when people and say this is the advice we're looking for. Thank you.
Yeah, when people say that this podcast is, like I said, just goofy, like we're out here giving advice. Like we have so much to offer the people.
That's right.
Okay. Yeah. May, do you want to let us know your two locations and your two spicy elements that you added?
So my locations are Shadyside Mall from the Fear Street trilogy, which if you have not seen, sapphic, amazing, just honestly one of my favorite horror trilogies, of my favorite trilogies in existence. And mm-hmm. and the mall is great. It's 1994 there, so mm-hmm, it's the mm-hmm. mall of my childhood. I love it.
That's the year I was born.
Kill me.
We literally, we're so mean. We keep being like, and this is the blah, blah, blah.
Time out and tea though, like aging is a privilege. Like,
oh, for sure. I mean, especially these days as a trans woman, getting to age is pretty,
absolutely.
Yeah, important. Live as long as your life.
Live as long as your life.
I might be almost 40, but I still look like I'm in my early 30s.
No, yeah, I was gonna say you don't look 40. You look like a fresh young babe.
Thank you. Okay. My other location is the Mystery Shack from Gravity Falls. I checked with y'all to make sure I was allowed to put a cartoon location in there, and mm-hmm. I like the idea of these women who are not cartoons ending up in a cartoon location that's just filled with weird, wacky shit.
Yes. It's giving Space Jam, and we love it. Mm-hmm.
Space Jam.
Yeah.
Okay. And then your spicy elements.
Yes. So my first spicy element is increased gravity. So this is going to make everyone move a little slower. It's going to make everything heavier. But that also means it might make impacts with weapons more powerful. Mm-hmm. And then the other one, going cartoon again, is noodle arms. So if you've ever seen a cartoon, including Gravity Falls, when cartoon characters like wiggle their arms around and they just wave like noodles. So that's kind of what it feels like when one of your limbs falls asleep. And like, yeah, you can still move it, but it's not great.
Great. Okay, no. I love this. And no one got to see it, but we were all physically doing noodle arms. So
we're all wiggling.
Just had to let y'all know. Okay, fantastic and fabulous. So what we are going to do now is actually draw from these bags or bowls. Do we say what a spicy element is? I'm so sorry. Did we define
yes.
it?
I did. Yes, yes, yes.
Okay, my memory is awesome. Okay, so let's do location first.
Okay.
Okay, so my gender identity is bag, I guess.
Hey, at least you're not a coin purse.
There you go. The trinary.
Okay. The trinary. I'm dead, y'all. Okay, here we go. And it is, oh shit, y'all. It's the Shadyside Mall.
Oh my God, I'm so happy right now.
Okay, and now I, as a bowl person, I don't know if you can hear that.
Mm-hmm.
You like that audio? Good.
That's a very cute bowl.
It is.
Thank you. I think it's from Cost Plus.
Nice. Okay. You call it Cost Plus too? Everyone else calls it World Market.
It's Cost Plus World Market.
Yeah. Wait, what? Okay. I call it World Market. Y'all are what?
What?
Okay. Okay. So the one that I have pulled is that everyone has a Cockney British accent.
That's so stupid.
It's me, motherfucking Prescott, isn't it?
Hey, Prescott, motherfucking jab your eye out, isn't it?
Am I bothered?
This is crazy. Okay. I have a confession to make before we start fighting. I'm so sorry.
Okay. What's your confession?
So I've never watched this series before.
You've never seen Fear Street?
I've never seen Fear Street.
So make sure you watch the trilogy 94, 78, right. and 1666. Yeah. And don't ever watch Fear Street Prom Queen because it's a piece of shit that should not have been part of that series.
Okay.
Nothing supernatural happens in it. It does not feel like the 80s. And everyone's acting in a different movie. Oh, and it's also not sapphic, but it teases sapphic.
Yeah.
It is definitely queer baity.
Oh, no. Okay. We need to see girls kissing.
Yeah.
And Jesse, offline, you and I will kiki about this.
Thank you. Because, okay.
Yeah.
I just need to tell y'all that because I did grow up in the 90s and I was a mall child for sure. So I'm going to just probably like try to use that.
So yeah, let me just lay the scene real quick for you. But basically, the Shadyside Mall is your typical 90s like mall. But the key thing to remember about the Shadyside Mall though is that there is a giant tree in the middle of the mall that historically within the Shadyside sort of lore and canon and Fear Street movies is like kind of a haunted tree because of the lore. But I won't spoil the lore because you haven't seen the lore. So
do you ever go into the Rainforest Cafe? And that tree that had the face. Mm-hmm. Okay. Anyway.
Okay. But the other important thing about the Shadyside Mall is it has secret passages leading out of it because it was built on the grounds of an old camp.
Mm-hmm. Okay. How do you get into the secret passages?
There is a maintenance corridor and a vent in the floor that you can access it. And that secret passage leads into a cavern where a great evil lurks.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay. Great evil.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And that's why I picked it.
It's incredible. It's iconic.
Okay.
So shall we, is it time to fight?
Is it time to fight? Oh my God. Yeah. Let's do it. It's fight time.
Okay.
Wait, when do we discover our spicy element?
We just did it. Everyone has a Cockney accent.
Oh, right. God, oh, my God. Sorry.
We enter.
How quickly I forgot.
We literally enter into this podcast and we like lose all memory. Like all like short term retention is lost.
Like, I'm glad it's not just me.
No, yeah. I'm glad that we're all on the same page.
Great company. Great company in it. Okay.
Great company in it, bruv. Okay.
It's the Shady Grove. Wait. Shadyside Mall in it. Hello. In
it. Okay. So we have the Shadyside Mall. We have everyone speaking in a Cockney accent. And just to kind of let the people know. So May's role here will be that of the referee. But we want to kind of – do we establish sort of what type of referee May is going to be?
Judge, Judy, and executioner.
Yes.
Excellent.
Sorry. That's one of my favorite lines from Hot Fuzz.
I know – we need to get Judge Judy on the pod.
Judge Judy needs to get on the pod. We need Judge Judy on the pod.
May's like, you have her. She's here. She's right.
Yeah.
Baloney.
Okay. So May is going to act as Judge Judy and executioner and will be ruling with an iron D20, correct? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay.
Yep. I have one for each of you. Pink and black for Alyssa, purple and black for Jesse.
Huzzah. Okay. So J-Dog, how do we incept this fight? Like so we have the Shady Side Mall, we have our girls. Do we have like they enter from like one enters from like the hot dog on a stick stand and then the other one enters from like I don't know, the bookstore. You know what I mean? Like how do they enter? What is the arena? I feel like they should meet in the middle near the tree. You know what I mean?
Sure.
But like okay. You know, like what is the inception of this fight?
Yeah, I mean, like, they're, like, clearly walking through the mall. I'm thinking mm-hmm. that, like, H2O is, like, she's a pretty practical lady, so I'm guessing mm-hmm. she's coming in through the sliding doors, you know what I mean, at some entrance, mm-hmm, you know. Mm-hmm. The mall I grew up with was the Grapevine Mills Mall, so, like, they're like, you are entering 4 into neighborhood 4. They would, like, announce it when you walked in. Anyway, well, it doesn't matter. So she walks in. but this is Shady Side. Sorry. Get back into the zone, Jesse. And she's like, it's a mall, isn't it? And then she I think what happens is like they are approaching from either side of the tree and can't see each other immediately. Ooh, do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
but, and it's like since there's no one else in the mall, I'm guessing it's like shutdown hours. So mm-hmm. like it will startle them. Thus, like these are two traumatized. There we go.
Traumatized.
Mm-hmm. Women. So like I think that they probably when they see each other, mm-hmm. like is when they just start to like. But yeah.
Yeah.
That's
I think what I can lay the inception of the fight real quick in my opinion. So they come to the tree. I think they sit down at like sort of the bench on either side. And I think like they like their hands like drift towards each other and then touch. In because again, how all fights should start is they almost start kissing, right? Mm-hmm. But instead of kissing, they touch and then trauma hits. They look each other in the eyes, and all of a sudden it's like we're locked in. The fight is about to begin.
Okay, should we roll initiative? Like, who gets to hit first? Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
All right. I'm going to roll these at the same time, and whoever gets the higher score. Oh, wow. Alyssa, you got an 18.
Oh, fuck.
Jesse, you got a 19.
What? It's bitch! Okay. So, just some water, bitch. Okay.
Water, bitch. Okay, Jesse, you tell me how it goes down, babe.
Okay, so I think knowing the way H2O acts, she's very like reactive, right? Mm-hmm. So if they touch hands and she gets mm-hmm. startled, one thing mm-hmm. I know about her is she also is prone to hallucinations. Mm-hmm. So I think when she gets startled, she's like turning and like almost like subconsciously seeing Michael.
Mm-hmm.
And I think because she's in her like attack mode, she's gonna. Is the bench? I'm so sorry. Can I ask something about the bench?
Absolutely.
Is the bench just like normal bench, or are they sitting on either side of a two-sided bench?
In my opinion, I think it's like a circular bench. So it's like the tree is like in a circle.
Oh, it's just, yeah. I did not realize. My bad. Okay.
No, it's fantastic. Okay. It's okay.
Mm-hmm. So I think she's gonna try to like get Sydney. Because if she's to the side of her, she's going to try to get her, like, potentially on the ground. So maybe mm-hmm. there's some, like, touch, shit, and, like, some grabbing to try to, like, get her mm. onto the ground.
Okay.
There are similar stances, so I think she probably thinks she could potentially take her, you know.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So does Lori land it and get me on the ground?
May, what do you think?
I'm sorry, you want Lori to get you on the ground?
Well, okay. So my question is, different Jesse fantasy. Has proposed, Jesse has proposed that that Lori takes me down to the ground after we touch hands.
Sydney, specifically.
Yes.
Yeah, Sydney, me, Sydney.
Yes, okay. So Jesse, I'm going to roll for you.
Thank you.
Let's see what you get. All right, so you get a 6. So here's what happens. Lori digs her nails into Sydney's hand and draws a tiny bit of blood, but Sydney is able to reverse Lori's energy and throw her down to the ground.
Mm.
Oh.
So her hand is injured, but she's still standing.
Okay.
Okay, so I'm on the ground. Lori's on the ground.
Yes, Lori's on the ground. Sydney's hand is bleeding.
Okay. So as Sydney motherfucking Prescott with a Cockney accent, I think that what I would naturally do that now that we have Lori on the ground, I think that my next impulse is to just go the fuck in, right? I think that what we know about both these bitches is that they run towards it, they don't run away, right? So I think that what Sydney naturally would do is she would since Lori is on the ground, she would start kicking, like she would start trying to like kick her on the ground. or she would try to like get on top of her and wrestle. Honestly, in my opinion, I think Sydney is more of a like start kicking her while she's on the ground kind of person.
Mm-hmm. All right. I'm going to roll. All right. You got a 7.
Wow. So, okay. These girls are having a rough go of it.
I know, right? Hey, you know what? They're tired from the previous rounds of fighting. Yeah, they came to the mall to get a late night slice at Sbarro. And, you know,
and now they're fighting
maybe
some random,
Orange Julius.
An Orange Julius?
Yeah, and yeah. Auntie Anne's. Yeah,
oh,
for sure.
Oh, cinnamon sugar pretzel? Excellent. But unfortunately, this means that Sydney gets one good kick in to Lori's mm-hmm. abdomen. So mm-hmm. Lori's a little short of breath, but she mm-hmm. still manages to grab Sydney's leg and knock mm. her over. So now they are both on the ground.
Okay.
Sydney's bleeding and Lori is short of breath from getting kicked.
Okay, so Lori's on the ground and I've just been kicked. however, because Sydney's on the ground, I think what I'm going to try to do next is just get up and find a weapon, because I know like H2O has strength in like acquiring a weapon mm-hmm. and trying to get it into the mix. So if we're near the food court, mm-hmm. if there is a Sbarro in sight, then I think that what Lori's going to try to do is run over to the Sbarro and find like something, like probably, I'm trying to think of what a weapon there would be. Like my mind goes to like maybe the thing that they use to take the slices off of the.
Or the pizza cutter.
Ooh, yeah. Okay. Slay.
All right.
If that's within grasp, can't talk. Grasp? Then yeah. If that's just within grasp. And she goes, it's pizza time.
it's pizza time.
All right. Let's see what we got here. Okay, you got a 16.
Okay, so it is pizza time.
It's motherfucking pizza time.
I'm gonna slice you, bitch. Prepare your pepperonis. So
prepare your pepperonis. I'm gonna cut above the rest. Okay, I gotta stop.
So Lori picks up a commercial pizza cutter that has just been sharpened that day. Okay, so this is not a large weapon, but it is a mm-hmm. very sharp and swift weapon. Mm-hmm. So you can do a lot of damage with this thing pretty quick. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Cool. Amazing. So I've got this and I'm going to try to head back over to Sydney, but I feel like that's a lot of motion. So I can pause here.
Yeah. So what's Sydney doing here?
Okay. So Sydney's on the ground. Yeah. Uh-huh. And you know, she's a little befuddled. She's like, oh, right. She got got by Lori. I think that very similarly, I think that like Sydney's instinct would be also to grab a weapon, right?
But is she running to the food court or is she running to a sporting goods store?
Yes, I think that that's what she does. I think she runs to the sporting goods store and I think she locates a baseball bat.
Excellent.
What are our thoughts on that?
Yeah, I can't imagine Sydney going for a crossbow or something because I know she knows that that takes too long to reload. She's going to want something that can do damage quicker. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And she's no stranger to close combat, like close quarters combat. So, all right, let's see what kind of bat she gets. All right. You got a 20.
No!
Oh, period!
So Sydney gets a nice aluminum bat.
Damn it.
Period.
If you got 15 or less, I was going to give you a nice solid wood bat. The problem with that is, you know, if you hit hard enough, it can break. Aluminum bat. Oh, that thing's going to hurt. As someone who has gotten hit with an aluminum bat, it's not fun.
Oh, my God. Dude. Okay. You know what they say. Don't bring a pizza cutter to a baseball bat fight.
Okay, so I've got a bat, you've got a pizza cutter. Are we coming at each other? Like, what's the vibe?
I think Lori runs back out right away from the Sbarro and sees Sydney with the bat and is like, fuck. Mm-hmm. Because the problem is I'm going to have to get in close contact to be effective with this particular tool.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I kind of want to look around and see if there's anything else around me. Like, I might look at my hand and being like, this is stupid. this ain't going to work, is it?
It guess it's not pizza time, isn't it?
Simply not pizza time. I'm about to get my head bashed in.
Okay, so we're trying to find another weapon.
Can I look around me? Can I roll perception?
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And okay. And we can do more than that for this one turn. All right. So you rolled a 5.
Fuck.
Oh no.
So you're like, pepper flakes.
Okay.
So you've got a giant shaker container of pepper flakes.
Okay, this is gonna take some. Okay. And I'm guessing because it's Final Girl rules, I've dropped my pizza cutter.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
That's fair. Okay, so I grab the pepper flakes in an attempt to do like a distanced attack. Because I'm guessing at this point Sydney's probably trying to run for me because she has the upper hand.
Yeah, yeah.
And yeah. And so like maybe like when she gets within what I think is a pepper throwing distance, I'm gonna attempt to use the flakes.
All right. Let's roll for attack. 12. Okay. So you pop the top off the pepper flakes and you dump them straight into Sydney's face as she's running at you with the bat.
Okay, wait, okay? I'm so sorry. I'm so glad you said pop the top off because my mind's like, I'm shaking that thing trying to get the flakes to come out.
No, you pop the top off, you toss them into her face, and you got a 12. So we're going to say that Sydney is inconvenienced by this, not completely disabled by it, but like her eyes fucking hurt, her vision is limited, and she has to take time to try to clear them out of her eyes.
Okay. I think then my eyes are fucked up. I'm like, you know, I think that I like, regardless of where the eye situation is, I do a blind swing. I do a blind swing into the air after I get pepper flakes in my eyes. And I'm curious what the D20 gods say happens to that swing.
All right. All right. You rolled a 15.
Ouch.
So
ouch,
isn't
it?
I'm gonna say you nail Lori in the rib cage with that aluminum bat. So again, not completely disabling, but that's going to once again knock the wind out of her.
Yeah.
And cause, you know, maybe a little bit of internal bleeding. So Sydney's partially blinded and in pain. Lori can't breathe and maybe has a broken rib.
Okay. Is Lori, like, what happened? Like, physically, where is Lori after that?
I'm going to say Lori like ducks down and crawls through Sydney's legs to try to start regrouping.
Okay. Yeah. Finding the higher ground, if you will.
Yes, exactly. Mm-hmm. Just like Obi-Wan Kenobi.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And you know what? Alyssa doesn't get that reference because they've never seen Star Wars and we can't talk about it now. Because
I have seen Star Wars. I just haven't seen all of them and I don't really remember them. Okay.
That's fine. Even as someone with a fucking Millennium Falcon tattoo,
I
have fallen so far off the Star Wars train since Rise of Skywalker came out because fuck that fucking movie.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Anyway, right. We'll kiki offline.
We'll
about
kiki
it.
Later. Yeah. Okay, dear God in heaven. So I'm crawling on the ground, trying to get to higher ground. So maybe if we're still near the bench at some point, like, would it be stupid to try to like go climb the tree or like find respite somewhere under the bench? Like, I'm trying to figure out like what is my next move. Like, if I
okay, so the tree is not that big, even though it's kind of the centerpiece of the mall. So I'm going to say Lori's not going for climbing that. I'm going to say she's either going to run for another store where she can find a more effective weapon, or she's going to head into the maintenance area.
Okay, because that's what I was thinking. Only area. Okay. Okay, I think I'm going employees only.
Okay,
cool. Because yeah, I think as we establish in H2O, there's a point where she like opens a closet and is like, fuck that. But I think she's trying to find passage. Mm-hmm. So, you know, she's not going to run to a store where there's a dead end. She's going to run into the maintenance place that might have, you know, the way down.
All right. Do you want to roll for finding that way down into the tunnels?
Yeah, let's do it.
Okay. Well.
What is it?
It got caught in the cables behind my computer desk. Okay.
Okay.
Let's re-roll that. 17.
Okay.
So Lori easily discovers this secret passage, and despite the pain in her ribs, is able to pry it open, get down into the tunnels, and A, get a little recovery time, and B, get the lay of the land down there.
Whoa, okay. I'm doing
so
great.
She now has a big advantage over Sydney.
Okay, so what I'm guessing is that Sydney basically sees, like, is it a swinging door? I don't know. Like, some area, you know what I mean, that, like, sees where Lori's going, but doesn't actually,
like, once she clears the pepper flakes out of her eyes
I think what she does is she goes to the drinking fountain, she uses it as, like, an eyewash station, is, like, you know, I think that once she has cleared the peppers from her eyes, she kind of like catches that, like, Lori ran off into some corner, right, or somewhere. And so I think what she does is I think she realizes that, like, okay, if Lori is, you know, like, out and about, she probably now has the upper hand of, like, of being able to surprise attack me, right? So I think that Sydney is like, I'm gonna follow her. But I'm not going to follow her without, because I think she dropped the bat, because, like I said, we're final girl rules. She drops everything. So I think she's like, I'm not going to follow her without, like, a mode of attack or plan. So I think that I'll give two options. Right. So I think either in order to follow her, she grabs like a flashlight or something, or she grabs like some sort of, like, loud noise making thing. So, like, you know what I mean?
See, I was thinking fire extinguisher.
Ooh, okay, yes, I like that. I like that.
Because there's going to be a fire extinguisher as soon as you walk through that employees only door.
Yeah. Okay, so.
Okay. Yeah. Oh, and I forgot to mention, we know that Lori canonically smokes cigarettes in H2O, even though she's trying to quit. So she's got a lighter down in those tunnels, so she can see.
Okay.
Cool. Okay, got it. So does Sydney need to roll for finding the extinguisher, or, like, do we or is it just, like, yeah, I'm just curious. Because we can get it.
I'm gonna roll to see how full the extinguisher is.
Okay, got it.
10. Okay. So you've got a half full fire extinguisher. You can use it to spray some of the fire extinguishing material, and you can also use it to, you know, bonk people in the head.
Okay, great. So I'm going down into the tunnels. I'm going into the Canaveras tunnels with my fire extinguisher. Lori, what you doing?
I think I can hear you coming down. I think, like May said, like, I can sort of see the lay of the land down there, but all I have is a lighter, so it's not perfect by any means. Also, I'm fucking hit. So I'm, like, not doing super good, because at this point the internal bleeding is bleeding. So I think I'm kind of, like, rested against a wall, like, trying to be a little bit covered. I don't know if there's stuff down there or not. Can y'all tell me if there's, like,
imagine it's like, so it is a series of caves that is, like, rock and dirt, and they're also, the caves kind of, like, intertwine in, like, a satanic symbol, if you will.
Oh, great. Okay.
So
so maybe I'm, like, around the corner from where the entrance to the thing is, if there's, like, an around the corner of the tunnel, if that makes sense. So I'm just out of sight. But I think when I hear Sydney coming down, I turn off the lighter, right? There we go. That's what I had. And I'm, like, going to try to, like, maybe sneak attack if I can. Do you know what I mean? Like, by surprise, the second that she gets down there while she's trying to get her bearings, Lori's going to try to, like, get the jump on her somehow. Like, we're in the final throes, I feel. So I'm kind of like, she's in her, like, she's like, I'm going to bleed out, or I need to kill this bitch.
We're coming to blows. Yeah, we're coming to blows for sure.
Okay. So do you want to roll to see how effective her
sneak attack?
Do I surprise? Yeah. Or is it very obvious?
You got a 19.
Oh!
All right.
Fuck!
So Sydney's coming down into the passage, and Lori is crouched down again. Despite the pain in her ribs, she is trying to breathe as shallowly as possible so that she can't be heard. And again, Sydney can't really see. There's a tiny bit of light coming down into the tunnel from the maintenance corridor. And here's what happens. Lori grabs Sydney's ankle, and it's a little slippery down there. So she pulls her. Sydney falls on her face breaks her nose, and Lori is able to grab the fire extinguisher.
Oh, shit. She's not armed anymore. Okay. Sydney, what are you going to do?
I think I do what has to be done. And that is I just start going like I break my nose, right? I'm like, fuck. And then you now have the fire extinguisher. So in my head, I'm like, I have to either disarm you or like fist to fisticuff, like get you down, right? And so I think that at this point, I'm like, okay, let's start doing the bare knuckle brawl, right? And so I think my thought is I start attempting like MMA shit. Like I start attempting some real MMA fighting shit.
Okay. All right, let's roll. All right, you got a 9. So your eyes are still a little fucked up from the peppers. So your vision's a little bit blurry. It's really fucking dark down there. So you're trying to take some swings and you're landing a couple blows and you're mostly avoiding the fire extinguisher. Okay. But then Lori sprays you in the face with a bit of it. So once again, your vision is a little impaired and now you're having a little trouble breathing. But you also landed a couple blows right on Lori's ribs. So she's having trouble breathing too. Yeah.
I don't think at this point I'm holding onto the fire extinguisher anymore. Like if I get a little bit squirted, I'm like, if I get hit in the ribs, I can't like hold anything.
Yeah. Okay. So let's say the fire extinguisher has dropped and it has hit both of you in the big toe.
Okay. Ouch. Okay. So I want to propose something.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I think that at this point, and honestly, I think this makes sense as far as like how it would come down between these two girls. I think that like they're both injured and they both like don't have much at their disposal anymore other than just kicking each other's asses, like in mean, gross ways. Like I'm talking hair pulling, I'm talking biting, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I think that ultimately it's going to come down to who can physically either strangle, crush someone's head, yada, yada, yada. Right. You know?
Yeah.
And so I think that what we need to do is we need to establish like what are the final blows here and who gets taken, what damage gets taken, how does this end? You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So I think that y'all are delivering blows to each other as you're stumbling through the tunnels of these caverns.
Okay.
Every time someone lands a blow, they get to like get a little bit ahead. You know, you're going back and forth. These ladies are pretty well matched in terms of their ferocity and their skills. And you end up in the chamber where this great evil resides. And it's in the center of this chamber. It's pulsing. There's black goo. It smells horrible. What are you going to do?
I think I'm in bad shape. I'm going to be honest. I think if the element of goo is introduced, like I'm not going to be able to stay standing. Like I think I'm slipping a little bit. Like if I'm just trying to be, I'm trying to honor the system. I think in the spirit of acquiring a weapon, maybe I'm looking for like loose rock. Or something. If I do find it on the ground, I might try to chuck it. I'm not sure how effective that's going to be, but that's probably where I'm at right now. Because if Sydney's got impaired vision, like I'm trying to capitalize on that, like she might not see it coming, but I don't really know.
All right.
Okay.
You wanna roll for throwing a rock at Sydney, or
I would like to suggest something. Jesse, suggest what your final kill blow would be. I would like to suggest what my final kill blow would be, and I think we roll to see what the blow is.
Woo! Okay. Yeah. Okay. Well, I think that if I'm on the ground, I think if Sydney somehow gets on top of me, which is probably especially if we've been brawling for a second there, it is the only thing I've got on me is to grab a rock and on the head, like a knock on the side of the head and knock you out.
My final kill blow, I think, would be because I'm like I'm like kind of blinded low key, you know, and I'm really struggling. I think my final attempt at murder would be to like grab you by the back of your hair and put your face down in the muck and like the goo until you suffocate.
Okay.
Excellent. All right. I'm going to roll these at the same time. Holy shit. Lori got a 17 and Sydney got an 18.
Let's fucking go! I got an 18, bruv.
So So here's what happens.
Yeah, yeah. Tell us. Tell us.
Lori hits Sydney in the temple with the rock. So mm-hmm. she's fucking dizzy. She is mm-hmm. bleeding. She's mm-hmm. like, fuck, I'm going to die. So mm-hmm. she just grabs Lori's throat mm-hmm. and is trying to like rotate her head. So it's shoved into this goo, into this giant pile of evil. So mm-hmm. as Lori is dying, mm-hmm. she's seeing these visions of horrible mm. things that have happened. Every horrible thing from her life. And also everything that has happened in this town. So she's seeing Michael. She's seeing all the shady side killers. She is overwhelmed. She's having this psychic meltdown while she is mm-hmm. also physically dying. Mm-hmm. Sydney is bleeding profusely at this point. Mm-hmm. So her mm-hmm. blood is dripping all over Lori. Sorry, I have a blood fetish. I gotta put that in there.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And as Sydney chokes the life out of Lori, she falls onto this evil entity. And she also sees all of that shit. So even though she has won, mm-hmm. she is even more psychically damaged than she was before.
Wow. I gotta do a lap. Hold on.
Yeah, we need to take a breather, a moment. Do a lap. Do a lap, babe. There you go.
This is making me realize that I really want to be a DM for tabletop games, because I am having so much fucking fun with this.
I might be psychically damaged. But I am Sydney motherfucking Prescott, all right? And I've won the season 3 franchise bracket, motherfuckers.
Let's fucking let go.
In it.
Bruv. Yeah.
Okay.
All right.
Yeah. The so final Sydney, gods have spoken.
Yep. Sydney crawls out of that chamber. She mm-hmm. brings herself up out of the maintenance tunnel, and she mm-hmm. just lays there until the mall employees start showing up in the morning and they call the ambulance to get her taken to Shadyside Hospital.
Wow.
And that's on period.
And that's canon.
And that's canon.
My Woo! God.
I can't believe we've made it to, like, for context, May, me and Jesse incepted this pod, I think, over 4 or 5 years ago now. And uh-huh. when we first started, we were like, franchise girls will get their own bracket. And here we are. This is the bracket. And the winner of that bracket is Sydney motherfucking Prescott.
Specifically, Scream 4.
Scream 4.
Scream 4. And the thing is, like, it wasn't even like we decided this ahead of time. We always improv these fights no matter what.
Yeah, yeah.
But like the dice decided, which is mm-hmm. just like even more powerful.
Yep.
Yeah.
I'm loving it.
Oh, and while Sydney's in the hospital, Kirby comes to visit her because Kirby is canonically in love with Sydney.
Oh, tea.
Kirby is a bisexual icon.
No, yeah, for sure. For sure. Absolutely.
I'm guessing this is part of the Fear Street thing. Okay. Is
that? No, Kirby. Kirby Hayden Panettiere.
Oh,
yeah. Okay.
Got it. My bad.
But also, they're in the Fear Street universe, so lesbians.
So lesbianism. And honestly, at the end of the day, it all comes back to lesbianism.
And mm-hmm. I've always said that.
And okay. I've always said that.
All right, Alyssa. Okay. What's that sound?
Chugga, 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 choo, choo. It's the appreciation train rolling into the appreciation station, baby. It's That's appreciation great. Time. Thank you, as always, to Devin McNaughton and the Burly Girlies for allowing us to use your vocal power and your musical finesse to intro our podcast. Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you to Prince Jackson for making this podcast possible. And thank you to the Goodnight Network, as this is a Goodnight production. And thank you to May for being a part of the Goodnight Network and also being an incredible guest. Thank you for our franchise season finale.
Thank you Absolutely. Again for having me. This was so fucking fun. And I feel like this would be such a great party game. All you need yes. is 2d20s and some creativity.
Mm. Absolutely. TM, TM, TM. We're going to franchise out our own board game.
Oh, yep. I love this final.
No, I absolutely fucking love that.
Oh my God. Okay. Well, let's get to some general gratitude.
Yeah, obviously, general gratitude number one is just thank you, May, for being on this podcast. Like we said at the top, you're like a real ass podcasting professional who is out here in the streets doing horror podcasting like it's never been done before. And so we are honored that you are on our goofy little podcast, and also just like excited that we know you and can't wait to visit you in Chicago because you're a cool cat.
Aw, thank you. Yeah, I am poor as shit, but I love what I do. I co-host several podcasts. I edit a few more, and I just get to have fun listening to people talk about interesting shit, mostly horror movies, but not all horror movies.
Yeah.
And it brings me so much joy because the art of movies and TV is one of my favorite things in existence. And sharing that with people is one of my greatest joys. Being able to talk about it with people, to either get goofy as hell or analytical or both about it, it's extremely rewarding. And I'm really thankful that I've set up my life in a way that even though I am poor, this is what I get to do.
Hell yeah. Fucking hell yeah.
This is so emo. What's your mercury?
I don't remember. I can pull it up if you want.
It's all good. It's all good. We won't. Maybe later. Text me. That was so sweet. We're so grateful for you. Perfect general gratitude, by the way. Excellent execution. I am grateful for you. I'm grateful for this podcast. I'm grateful for Alyssa for coming up with this idea. Thank you so much. It's a joy. And you're the star of my heart.
You're the star of my heart.
And you're the star of my heart. And I want to thank the listeners. Thank you to everyone who has been listening to us and following along and having fun with us. And if you're here for the first time because you're a May fan, welcome. We are also May fans.
Also, go listen to other episodes. Y'all are so creative and you are so fun and you are so gorgeous. And I'm so glad we got to like see each other during this recording, even though the listeners aren't going to see the video. But like, just... there is no other podcast like this. This is unique and it is special. And you're doing storytelling in a way that I don't think anyone else does. Because, yeah, there are tabletop game podcasts, but this is different. This is something for us weird horror girlies.
I'm crying in the club.
Literally. Okay, so that was really nice.
Also, just one more thing about thanking the listeners is just that, like I am not going to lie, I know this season took fucking forever. And I also just want to say that, like, if you are here, like, after having heard, like, our 5-year experience of doing this podcast – thank you so much. And also, like, I feel like this is the coolest, best season we've ever done.
Yeah.
And I feel like part of that leveling up is just, like, you know, getting cool people like May on the pod and just, like, grinding on this hoe for like, however long we've been doing it, you know?
Yeah.
So it's truly being
the podcast, not May, okay?
The hoe being the podcast and not May.
Hey, you want to grind on me? You're welcome, too.
May's like, hey.
I think we've covered the fact that I'm a lesbian.
May's like, look, I'm not opposed to grinding.
It's true.
So anyway, okay, if you want to watch us grind on May, how can they follow us?
You can sign up for our OnlyFans.
Sign up for our OnlyFans, Final Girl Standing, the podcast.
The musical.
Okay, so if you want to follow us in our journey on social media, please follow us on Instagram and on TikTok, baby, at Final Girl Standing Pod. We are no longer on Twitter. I put that to bed because I just didn't want to download the Twitter app again. Mm-hmm. Final Girl Standing Pod on both Instagram and TikTok is where you can find us, where you can see visuals of our hot faces, and also potentially me grinding on May content to be determined. But yeah,
TBC. Yeah, we'll see. Time will tell. Well, typically this would be the part where we talk about who's fighting next, but this is the finale, y'all. We want to celebrate Sydney Prescott, specifically Sydney 4.
Yeah.
And then we want to honor Lori.
R.I.P. So, dog.
R.I.P. dog. And this is the moment of the podcast where we sit and take a moment of silence and pour one out for Lori Strode. you know, a boy mom, an alcoholic, and honestly an icon. Mm-hmm. So if we could all just take a quick moment to close our eyes and mourn our fallen final girl. Ready? And moment of silence. Amen.
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 We did it!
Yeah! Oh my God! Sydney Prescott superiority.
Sydney Prescott superiority. Period, period, period.
Thank you, Bae.
Thank you, Bae.
Welcome.
Okay, bye.
Bye.